Another WhatsApp saying, morning, Refuela, happy Valentine's to you. And I'm sure we all want to hear your thoughts on Shona. Guys, we have experts lined up, you know, and the next one, Gay Davis, will be joining us. She's going to tell us about the key rundown from Shona. And just to kick that off, I just want you to have a listen to another clip from the president's speech.
Now, in line with the roadmap announced last year, Eskom has started with the process of divisionalizing three operating activities: generation, transmission, and distribution, each of which will have its own board and management structures. The social partners organized under NEDLAC have been meeting, deliberating, and discussing a number of proposals over the last 2 weeks to find agreement on the principles of what they call a social compact on electricity.
All right. Welcome to Breakfast with Refuela once again, Gay Davis. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Talk to me. First of all, happy Valentine's Day. I'm not going to genderize this. I hope you're having a wonderful one. Interesting word that, divisionalizing. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, we heard about unbundling the last time around. So, divisionalizing, it's just that we haven't quite decided what we're going to be doing yet, but we want to give you the idea that there is movement, and we are going to be going ahead with whatever it is we finally decide would be the best thing to do.
Mm.
And also interesting, Rafael, where social partners, lots of focus on the fact that there's, social partners, labor, government, unions,
correct,
business, community, all working together trying to come up with a plan, but not very much detail in that speech last night on how you're going to deal with the debt mountain, except he did say that, and this is with reference to Kosatu's proposal to use pension savings, workers' pension savings, to try and defray the debt mountain by half, 250 billion rands worth, that workers' pensions, nobody wants workers' pensions put at risk, and nobody wants the country's financial system, its integrity compromised. So,
yes.
I think if you wanted to ask me broadly about the whole speech,
please,
I definitely think that it's a much better speech than we've heard to date. This speech, definitely left one with a much better feeling. A very dense speech, 32 pages, nearly 7,500 words. So a lot of detail coming in. But I think that the key takeaways are that, he's acknowledged the pain that South Africans are in, the rising cost of living, joblessness, load shedding, this general sense of despair, really. He's saying load shedding is going to continue, or likely to continue in the future. And some people are saying it's going to be 18 months worth of load shedding, just to depress everybody on Valentine's Day. But at the same time, he's saying it's got to be done in a way that's going to minimize disruptions for business and for households. And I think that is actually the plan going forward. It seems to me to be the only feasible plan going forward. So that was about it, really, in terms of Eskom. Nothing much really new, but I think that's because so much still has to just be thrashed out.
Okay, and your views on the generality, the general sort of vision going forward for the year ahead. What do you feel are the hooks that you can hang our accountability on for the coming 12 months?
Well, I think that he's obviously the economy, energy crisis were center stage in his speech. But you can't escape those things. What was important was that he acknowledged the pain that people are taking it through this. But I think that the other thing that was a highlight was youth unemployment. And I remember Willem Zimavavi, when he was still president of Kosatu, talking about it being a ticking time bomb. And the president didn't use those words, ticking time bomb, but he said that it's a crisis, it's a national crisis. We've got to throw everything that we've got at it. And quite an interesting proposal that the budget be cut by 1%, which means every single department will take a haircut of 1% on what they supposed to get.
Right.
And that money will be set aside to be used for initiatives to promote getting the youth, getting young people into training, getting them engaged, reaching out to them, actually, and easing them onto pathways into the economy. So a much more focused approach, a much more dedicated mission to deal with youth unemployment, because that's something that we're going to have to watch really closely to see how that actually works out.
Yeah,
also, something not going to happen immediately, and we're only going to get further details from Tito Mboweni, not in his budget at the end of this month, but only in the medium-term policy statement in October.
Mm. Do you think there's a more focused approach than the fact that we already have a youth employment service? We've already got the YES program.
Yeah, that's going to be upscaled.
But we're upscaling something that's not really getting the great deal done.
I think that they've conflicting reports. I mean, in the sense that I think that they're seeing signs that there is progress with that program, but I mean, it can only do so much at the scale that it's at the moment.
Mm.
And I think that you know, this is all tied in with announcing a university for science and innovation in Ekurhuleni, the only metro in the country without a university. But and while that's also not an overnight thing, that's something that's going to take some time to establish. It seems to me to be a step in the right direction, and that it's going to allow for people to go and to learn dedicated skills that the economy actually really needs.
Another thing that's obviously front and center for South Africans day to day is safety and security. What were your thoughts on his views there?
Well, he had a fair amount to talk about there. I mean, for example, anti-gang units, those are going to be boosted. The priorities will be obviously the Western Cape, but also the Eastern Cape, the Gauteng and the Free State. He spoke about gender violence. He spoke about the importance of tightening bail and sentencing conditions. And there's a bill that's going to come to Parliament about that, cases that involve gender-based violence, and also tightening up, you know, who gets named on the register of sexual offenders. So I think that the other thing is the Domestic Violence Act, because that's been in place for decades, and it's just not, you know, that's just not actually doing the job that it's intended to do.
Mm.
But I think that a couple of wild cards were the announcement that we're going to set up a sovereign wealth fund, which is a great idea if you've got lots of extra money lying around. It's sort of like making your rainy day savings stash, and you put any excess into it, and it's a big kitty that you can use when times get really bad. Norway, for example, I think has got, I don't know, trillions in its sovereign wealth fund earned from its oil resources, because it's the idea being that these are national resources and everybody should have a share in them.
Mm.
And that's the idea behind what Cyril's talking about. I mean, it's a notion that I think it's an ANC resolution from one of their conferences, similarly to the State Bank. But I can't see either of these things getting off the ground really soon, mainly because there's just no money.
Thank you so much, Gay Davis. Have a good one. Gay Davis giving us her perspective on SONA yesterday. She's the EWN parliamentary correspondent.